Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Tegan. Hi. Yeah. Oh, what a beautiful day today is, even though the grass is frozen. We were just talking about winter being a bully, and that was really fun. But just on a more, I guess, serious note, you guys, what a beautiful day the Lord has made, right? And we get to rejoice and be glad in it, like this little guy. I just challenge us today to have that childlike faith and be able to enter in as a child, where we're not restricted by who's looking at us or what people might think, but instead entering in a new way today, where we're able to be even just slightly out of our comfort zone, but just allowing for him to stir your heart and do something new in you, and forwardly showing that by maybe, if you don't usually, open your hands or stepping out of your seat or doing something just to encourage your spirit and your body to line up with what your spirit is already feeling, you know, to do something that, hi babe, to do something that's going to will your body to be in alignment with what God is doing. Yeah, so Father, we just give this time to you, Lord. We celebrate you. We glorify you. We are so excited just to be with you and in your presence. God, that every pitchy note would be a fragrance to your ears, Lord. And that you are everything that we put down here today, God, would just be set down before your feet, and in exchange would be you and your peace in Jesus' name.
So worthy, worthy. you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let. Come on, church, you believe this today. Sing it out. And you're never gonna let.
Soul. And this is another one of those songs that may be hard to sing because maybe things aren't good. Maybe we don't really believe that God can come through and make our situation good. But the truth is, regardless of what you believe, regardless of what you think, that our God is good. Can I get an amen from anybody in the room? So we're going to keep singing this, and I believe somebody in the room, spirit, is just stirred up right now, maybe even agitated. And we're just going to sing this together as a family until our spirit comes into alignment with this truth of His goodness. That no matter what our life looks like, no matter what our situation looks like, no matter what our bank account looks like, our marriage looks like, our family life looks like, our job looks like, that God is good. So you are good. You're good. Shout of praise for Jesus this morning.
So
knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me in. Lead me to the cross. Thank you.
Let's just all hold steady. I just believe that somebody has a word from the Lord. and I don't want to pass over this time. It may be one word, it may be five, it may be 10, but if it's you, would you just be obedient to the Lord this morning and encourage your other brothers and sisters in the Lord, because you have something that Jesus has said to you that somebody else needs to hear. And in that obedience of speaking out, there brings freedom. There brings life and wholeness. Speaking out the name of Jesus, the word of the Lord brings holiness and power to others' lives. So if it's you, I just pray that God would give you a freedom to be able to come forward and speak the word over the rest of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because this week has been a heck of a week. My husband and I were, you know, we're at that age. We're planning what our thing is going to look like, what our future is going to look like, what we're going to be, house paid off, all this stuff. And making sure that we have all these bills taken care of before we stop working. Well, my car breaks down this week in the middle of a work day. On the side of Summit View Avenue, out in Cowichi, 2 miles from where we live. And he's able to come and get me, and as soon as I call him, his work gets busy and my work gets busy and our phones are going crazy and we're trying to get my car figured out. So we had to have it towed. And you know, it's so frustrating when you're trying to call somebody to make sure everything's in order and they are not answering the phone, or you're having to leave voice messages and nobody's calling you back. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know what? I am so done. I'm just going to give this to you. I'm going to stop calling them. I'm going to stop trying to get a hold of them. We're just going to let you have it. You know, and I was really upset. I'm not going to lie, I was really upset. I'm like, what did I do for this to happen, you know? And so the next morning I got up, and we got up and we prayed before breakfast that the Lord would handle this situation, that he would bring provision for our car. Well, we had breakfast, and I called Kia to let them know my car's there and that the keys are in it and all this stuff. And how did it go? And the lady was like, well, the technician looked at your car and he sent it to the mechanic because it has a hole in the block. And I'm like, okay, I know that means, because Tim and I talked about that, that, you know, that means new motor. And there goes our savings. And she goes, but I have to tell you, there's an extended warranty on that. And I am like, okay, so then what do we pay after the warranty? And she said, you pay nothing. You pay nothing. I fell to my knees. I was so thankful. And he's on the phone, and I can't scream out and praise Jesus because he's on the phone with work. So I have to wait to tell him. But you know what? God answers prayer. When you're where you are supposed to be with him, he will let you know that. In the big questions and in the little questions. It's going to take 3 weeks, and we have to pay this exorbitant fee for a rental car, but that's all we have to pay. We don't have to pay thousands of dollars for a new car or a new engine in an old car. So I can tell you, God answers prayers when you least expect it. And he answers them in ways that you don't expect.
Amen. Amen.
Yay. What I was coming forward to say is just that I just kept hearing, he's in control. Whoever needs to hear that
this morning. He is in control. Yes.
Anybody else? Eric, can we go back into Lead Me to the Cross? Just the chorus. The cross is where everything stops. It's where Jesus went to. It's where Jesus freed us. And it's what led people after to him, led us to him, the cross. Everything stops here. Everything. Everything goes through here. Everything. This is where the buck stops, right here. You gave it all. You didn't have to. One drop would have been enough, but you gave it all so that I can live and I can be free and I can worship. I can say, forgive me. I can say, help me. I can say, heal me. All the things that I need, Lord Jesus, comes from what you did. Help me to line up with the provision you made for me right here. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for that. Your precious name. Amen. Greet one another with love and grab a cup of coffee if you need it, and we'll meet back here.
You want to say something? Okay, come here. You want to say hi? All right, that's what I thought. All right. Would you guys stand with me? We are going to do our declaration over the Yakima Valley, beautiful Yakima Valley. Last night, Nancy and I were dropping our daughter off at a friend's house, and they live out in Terrace Heights, and so it goes up a little bit, and they have such a beautiful view as we're leaving their house. They have a beautiful view of our city, and I looked at my wife and was like, that's our city. Like, that's the beauty of our city. I don't know if you guys ever get an opportunity, but just to look at the city with new eyes and seeing it at night with the lights on and, you know, not being distracted by, like, what everybody else says Yakima's like and whatnot, but actually just seeing, like, God, this is your city. Amen? So we're going to declare this over our city. We're going to declare this over the valley. We're going to declare this over the lower valley, the upper valley. And so say this with me in unison on three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful valley that we get to live in, God. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. You love our city. You love every home represented in this place, God. And I just declare that it is blessed, God. I declare, Lord, that it is healed, God. I declare, Lord, that it is whole, God. And we just thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. In this church, God, for our city, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we get to be ambassadors of heaven in the Yakima Valley. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Katie, do you want to announce this first? No.
After you.
Okay. So we really only have one announcement. Tonight is our chili cook-off. Yeah, get excited. And so super fun. We are hoping to have a room full of people, as well as our youth will be represented there. They're really excited. We have a youth, well, it's a set of twins, but they're bringing some chili as well. And so I hope they beat all of you in Jesus' name. And so has everybody in here who wants to sign this, sign this? Because we could pass... So we could pass it on if we need to. But if not, okay, great. So I think everybody's good. And just to remind everybody who has a chili, just in case you forgot and you need to scramble for the next 5 hours, we got Vicky St. Martin, Madison St. Martin, Cody Brown, reigning champ Cody Brown in the house, Gaylene Lindell, the Johnson twins, which is our youth students, and then a good friend of ours, Kara Romero. Her daughter goes to our youth, and they pastor the youth pastor at a church called Cross Point in Onotanum, and she's bringing a chili as well. So praise God. If she wins, we won't count it, though, because she's from another church. All right. So Gaylene has an announcement. 5:45.
So if you have a chili, bring it by 5:45 so we can get it all ready to go. We're going to do it differently this year. We're going to put out little sample cups out in front of each chili. Everybody can go grab a sample cup, and then you can come back through the line after the voting is over and get the chili that you want to eat for dinner. And so that's how it's going to work. So everybody gets the opportunity to vote. It doesn't just come down to judges. And this way, it's just everybody gets to participate. Isn't that fun? Yes, amen. So if you have not had the opportunity to sign up and you want to, this will be up here after church today, and you can come and sign, because it's not just the chilies, but everybody's helping by bringing dessert or salad. So everything else is provided by the church, so we're so excited. It's at 6 o'clock tonight. Okay. I have two things, and I'm going to start with this. I promised everybody that I would do a gratitude calendar for the month of November, and this is what it is, okay? So you can actually take one and take it home. What I'd personally do is I take a picture of it, and I have it in my phone, and then I put a reminder in my phone that beeps me every day to go to my pictures to look and see what I'm supposed to be grateful for today. That way I don't have to worry about a paper. But you can do it however you want to do it, as long as it's where you're going to remember to pray and be grateful. Now, there are some things on here that you may not have, or it may not apply to you. Let's use, for example, a pet. You may not have a pet, but then you may think of somebody that you really love, like Debbie and Patrick, whose baby means everything to them. So then it reminds you, oh, Debbie and Patrick have a pet. I may not have a pet, but Lord Jesus bless Debbie and Patrick. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's always something you can look beyond, even if it doesn't apply to you. So if you'd like one, take one. Please pass them all around, and then if we need to make more, we can. Okay, so this is something that I just really felt strongly to do this morning. I have a very dear friend. Her name is Marcy, and I have been friends with Marcy since I was 17 years old. That's a long time. That's a very long. It's way before any of, most of y'all was born. However, Marcy has had a tremendous tragedy happen in her family this week. And I'm just going to say that one of her grandchildren tried to harm himself, and he is now being looked after by authorities and by the professionals because he is just not in a good place. So I'm wondering if we could just take a minute. This is somebody that Eric would minister to. He's only 15 years old, and he really needs the touch of Jesus on his life. And my heart has just been so burdened for them, and not just because it's my very dear friend, but also because this young man attended the school that I work for. And every time he would see me, he would run into my office and throw himself at me with a big hug and say, "Aunt Gay, I love you," and just get a hug. So he has a very tender heart. So I have connection with this boy, with this young man. And so I'm just wanting y'all to help me pray for him, because he really needs to be rescued by Jesus. And so, Father, today, we lift him to you, Lord. We pray that the mercies of heaven would just rain down on him and his family. God, that you would rescue his very heart, and that you would just help him, Jesus, to turn his eyes towards you, to be able to recognize, God, that you have everything that he needs, and he needs nothing more than that. Father, I just pray that where he is, even though family and friends cannot be with him, that someone would bring Jesus to him and remind him of the goodness of God in his life. And Jesus, I just pray that you would just touch the whole family, bring peace, bring comfort. Touch my friend. Jesus, we thank you for all this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, baby. Yeah, praise God. On that note, too, I just want to add, this is part of the reason why Nancy and I have devoted our adult life pretty much to teenagers. Is it fun? Absolutely. Do we get life from it? Absolutely. Also, because there's a lost and dying world out there of young people that need a real touch from heaven. Amen. And so the very last thing, and then Pastor, you can take it away, is just giving. Thank you guys for giving. You can give. You know how to give. You can give to the house, onelifefamilyworship.com, as well as in the boxes. And so without further ado, Pastor Mike.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. I am so grateful to God, because even what the enemy can intend for evil in our lives, God can intend it for good. Makes no sense to me how something with the full intention of destroying us, God can turn for the full intention of blessing us and healing us. So I'm believing that for this young man, that what the enemy has meant for evil, God will make good. And that the enemy will have to pay back the evil that he's intended for this family. And that loss would come to his kingdom of darkness because of it. All right, praise the Lord. We are in Ephesians 6. We've been talking about this. I'm going to turn off these other. You got them? Okay. Ephesians 6. We're going to go through verses 10 through 18. And the idea of this is that you're equipped for war. I know that sounds radical, but that's really the truth. We are equipped for war. We're not just taking up space on this earth, just waiting for, you know, for us to go to heaven or you know, Christ to come back and finally restore everything. While we're here, we are equipped for war. We are equipped to be battlers. We are equipped to be fighters. It doesn't seem like that when you're sitting in church and singing a few hymns or singing some songs, singing some worship songs, but that's truly who we are. We are to be individuals that fight the good fight of faith. You know, it's amazing because for most of my adult life, I remember that there's been some kind of war conflict in the world. There just always seems to be some kind of battle going on. And those of you who served in the military, some of you have lived it and actually been there serving our country and fighting for what we believe are almost like covenants when you think of our Constitution. What we decided as at the very beginning of this nation to guide us and lead us and to be things that we hold dear. And, you know, the main thing is, you know, that there's an equality that God has created all man, you know, and part of that battle that is being done throughout the world is trying to help people realize in other nations and those that are fighting us that there is a way that is good. And so we are individuals that lead the kingdom of God in a way that is good. So let's go ahead and take a look at these verses. There's quite a few, so hopefully I'll be able to get through them all. Oops. Hang on a second here. Game starts at 1? Okay, sorry about that. Don't know if we're going to make it here. Okay, there we go. Ephesians 6. 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Now, this is going to be a series, so I'm not going to break down everything today, but I do want to point out something. How many have heard that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established? Well, Paul himself is communicating here, put on the whole armor of God and take up the whole armor of God. He's emphasizing it again, and I believe that that means that it has a tremendous value in our lives if we will embrace that thought in heart. This is a little slow, okay? This doesn't catch up very quick. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see, I bolded that last part. The full armor of God does nothing unless we're actually backing it up with praying always, with prayer, supplication, with perseverance, with a heart that's seeking God, being watchful to this end. Yep. There we go. So what I did here is I kind of just going to go over these eight verses again with a few different translations, kind of focus on a few different things. So a final word, the New Living Translation says. If you go to chapter 6, you can see Paul's giving all of these instructions. He's been giving instructions all the way from about chapter 2. And so he's giving these ways to live by. And then he says, like he says in the New King James, finally, my brethren, a final word. And I believe it's one that he's giving because it's of great importance. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. See, that's the thing. We have to realize that it's not our power that we're mighty in. It's not our strength that we're mighty in. It's his power. Yeah. And so that means that if you feel weak, as we learned last week. When you feel weak, what? Strength is perfected. So admit your weakness, but remember, in your weakness, his mighty power resides. In the Williams translation, it says it this way: from now on, you must grow stronger through the union with the Lord, through union with the Lord, and through his mighty power. So this is a key, again, is union. What is union? Union means that you have a partnership. You have a sharing with God. And so when we're in Christ, when we have Christ in us, we're in union with him. Now, if we're not focusing on him, if we're doing our own thing, if we're distracted, if we're just living life and not realizing that we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but we're living as we're of the world, then we're not going to be in union with the Lord. And the thing is when we're not in union with the Lord, his mighty power doesn't work in us. It's like we put something inside of us that cancels out what God wants to do. Which is sad, because he wants to do amazing things in our life. It says here in verse 11 in the Complete Jewish Bible, use all the armor of weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. How many know that he is a deceiver? And what does a deceiver do? A deceiver makes you think something is something when it's not. So a deceiver is someone or something that's telling you something that you, if you believe it, you're going to be deceived and you're going to suffer loss. But you think it's okay. How many times have you done things in your life where you thought it was okay and then you realize, ooh, this has consequences. I didn't realize this was the kind of consequences I was going to receive. Think of Eve in the garden. She thinks she's just going to become more like God. Not realizing that knowing good and evil is going to wreck her heart at this point because she wasn't ready for it. The Message says it this way. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. See, the key right there is put them to use. What good does it have? What is it good to have all of this stuff that God's given us if we never use it? You know, most people who have items in their house that are very expensive, or even tools, I think, when they sit around, you know what they do? They start to corrode and become rusted. And when they're not used, it's like something happens to them and they decay. Yeah. It's like us. If we don't use what God's given us, it's like we decay. It's like we become with atrophy. All right. The Complete Jewish Bible in verse 12 says this: for we are not struggling against human beings. What a key right there. We're not struggling against human beings. And we've talked about this before. You think that when you're engaging with someone, or you're engaging with even an organization, or you're engaging with a place where you're trying to get your car worked on. You know, we think that we're dealing with human beings. I fall into that trap sometimes. I'm on the phone with somebody and I'm trying to get them to get what I want them to get, you know, and sometimes I raise my voice and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm your customer. You should be taking care of me. And I start dealing with the human being instead of taking it to God, because we don't war against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. The New Living Translation says it this way: for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So if this is the kind of battle that we're doing, if this is who we're waging warfare with, do you think we need earthly weapons? I don't think they would have any effect on them. So that's why, as we'll see in another scripture, we need heavenly weapons. And guess what? God has given us these heavenly weapons. He's equipped us. He's equipped us for war. He's equipped us to battle. He's equipped us to fight this good fight of faith. 13 the Complete Jewish Bible. It had a really a lot of good verses, the Complete Jewish Bible did. So take up every piece of war equipment God provides so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist. And when the battle is won, you will still be standing. When the evil day comes, when is the evil day? Well, the evil day, we could say, is today. Because if you realize when you go out those doors that there's a potential for you to be tempted by evil. There's a potential for you to be distracted by evil. There's a potential for you to even be attacked by evil. So the evil day is every day we live if we are living a life that's outside of our house, or else even our own home, sometimes evil can persist. Somebody can get, I guess you say like the devil made them do it, and they can get angry and you can start fighting, and all of a sudden you're battling earthly battle, and it's a lot of times people get hurt, their feelings get hurt. And so when we come into this idea that there's an evil day and we think that it's going to be just a day in the future, and we have to sometime be prepared for it, and we're thinking, well, if I start to prepare now, maybe a little bit, I'll be ready when the evil day comes. No, we need to be ready for today, because today could be your evil day. I do believe that there are days ahead of us. It says that in the last days will be perilous times, and we can consider those as evil days. I talk to people all the time, and they're like, whoa, what's going on? You know, with what's going on in Israel, what's going on with our government, what's going on with, the whole culture that we live in nowadays. It just seems like it potentially is the evil day. But your day that you go out into the world could be an evil day, and you need to be ready for it. You need to be ready for whatever the enemy sends your way, and not just saying, well, I'm just going to live life and I'll just take it, when it comes, and hopefully I'll be ready to receive whatever God has for me. No, be prepared. And we'll look at some scriptures that talk about that. In verse 14, New Living Translation says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. I like that. Stand your ground. In other words, don't give up territory that you've already won in the Spirit. I mean, if you've already accomplished things in God, if you've already overcome things in God, if you've already had things that used to be, let's say, snares and traps, sin, which so easily beset you, and you've been able to have those off your life. Stand your ground. Don't go back into your old ways. Stand strong in what you already have accomplished in God. And then it says, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. Truth and righteousness. Truth and righteousness. If we think about what we need to start our walk of faith, truth is paramount. I don't want to get into preaching on truth right now, but the idea that truth, when we know it, makes us free. You think about it. If you're free, you can do a lot of things that you can't do when you're trapped. You can live for God. When you're caught in the enemy's lies, you're not reaching many people. You're not reaching your potential. You're not reaching what God wants you to be. You're not allowing him to continue to work in your life when you're caught in a web of lies. For whatever reason, when we're caught in lies, it is like a web. And it's like it keeps us from even moving and having our being in him, existing as he wants us to exist. Hold your position, then with your waist encircled with the belt of truth, put on right doing as a coat of mail. New Living Translation says this, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace is the NIV. I'll get into all these in a few weeks, but the idea is that it's not about, and Pastor Eric mentioned it last week, it's not about the equipment and saying, oh, I have a breastplate. Yeah, you have a breastplate, but your breastplate is righteousness. You could say, I have righteousness. You have the belt of truth. And I know you can say, well, truth in our loins is very important. And, you know, especially for men and for the idea that you want to remain sexually pure, all of that is really important. But it's really you have truth and you need to put on truth. And you know what? To put on truth, sometimes you have to ask the Lord to expose the lies in your life, to expose what the enemy's already got you trapped in, believing. And sometimes it's you think you're believing good things, but you're believing lies. You know, it could be as bad as doctrine of demons. I always hate that, doctrine of demons. And you know what? He wasn't talking to Satanists. He was talking to people in the church that you've been listening to doctrines of demons. And what are doctrines of demons? I believe doctrines of demons are teachings that keep us from knowing who we are in Christ, or teachings that keep us from walking in the ways of Christ. See, because if we know who we are in Christ, folks, we're unstoppable. We're unstoppable. We're equipped for war if we know truly who we are in Christ. If we've been told a lie that, you know, you're just, as I've said before, you're sinners saved by grace, or you've done so many bad things, or you haven't done enough to really be who God wants you to be, and you settle for your current condition instead of who God has already made you to be in Him. It's just a matter of that manifesting through devotion, time, His presence. You know, there's a supernatural thing that goes on inside of each and every one of us. We can't see it. Sometimes we can't feel it, but it is happening. You are being changed from the inside. The inside out, you're being changed. It says that from glory to glory. It says that He's at work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. If He's at work in us, we can't see the work. But if we're believing the lies of the enemy, we don't have an opportunity to even live out what He's doing in us because we're trapped. We're bound. And we don't want to be bound. Verse 16, the Amplified says it this way. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. I like that it is all. That somehow faith helps us quench every single fiery dart that the enemy shoots at us. And why is that? Well, faith can move mountains. Faith has the ability to have things move. Whether it's a car that's stranded on the side of the road and having to come up with money to be able to fix the car, or whether it's just you needing to have the Lord reach one of your kids who's lost, or one of your family members, or to change your heart. You know, Lord, change my heart. He can do it with a simple prayer of faith. The message in 17 says, and salvation, this is like the helmet of salvation, are more than words. Think about this. And salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. So faith and salvation, truth and righteousness, the gospel of peace, they're more than just words. You know, we can make the full armor of God about this process we go through and think of it as something you have to do each day before you go out, or you're going to get attacked. Your shield of faith won't be up. Well, there's some truth to that because you're focusing on the right thing, but we have already received all those things. How many have received salvation in Christ? Yes. There you go. What does that mean though? See, that's when it becomes alive in you. If I just say you have salvation, if you don't know what salvation means, if you don't know that salvation means that your entire being saved from everything that the enemy has destroyed in it, then you're only going to think salvation means going to heaven someday. Right. They're more than words. But if you don't understand what those words mean, unfortunately, we'll go over those in the few weeks, next coming weeks, then you're losing out. How can you lock on by faith into something that you haven't gotten in your heart yet, that you don't have understanding for? That's why it's imperative for us to be people that read the Word. God's Word is an indispensable weapon. And then the final verse 18 in the Williams again, keep on praying in the Spirit with every kind of prayer and entreaty at every opportunity. Be ever on the alert with perfect devotion and entreaty for all God's people. Be on the alert. Be watchful in prayer. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Again, this idea is that we are equipped for war. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So I told you you're equipped for war. Even though we walk in the flesh, even though we live this life in the flesh, that's not our warfare. We don't war in the flesh. We don't fight human beings. We fight with spiritual weapons, as it says here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds? I like to call strongholds lies of the enemy. Arguments that the enemy has put out there into the ethereal space. And people have believed those lies. Some of those lies are, well, Jesus never rose from the dead. Has anybody ever heard that? Well, Jesus never rose from the dead. His tomb's not empty. That's a lie that the enemy's put out there. And a lot of college people and people who think that they're trained, you know, in biblical studies have bought that lie. And that's a stronghold in their life. Now, that's one that none of us can really grasp because we believe he rose from the dead. That's why we're gathered here today. But that stronghold holds a lot of people back from receiving Christ because they're believing a lie. How about the stronghold of sickness and disease? Because by his stripes, we are healed. Right? So the problem is that, and I've had this communicated to me by people who come from other nations because they notice the difference in our nation. They're from like a third world nation. And they say, why do you guys rely so much on, you know, pills and going to the doctor all the time? And I mean, in other nations, they have to pray because they don't have access to doctors. They don't have access to, you know, an aspirin every time something starts hurting. Now, I'm not putting down any of those things, but I'm telling you, there has been somewhat of a stronghold in this nation so that we rely more on the medical field for healing than supernatural field for healing. He is our great healer. I mean, he bore those stripes. He bore that crown. He bore the cross. Why? So that we could be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. That's a stronghold in my life. Through all these years, I've like got adapted to this is the way that you get healed. Sometimes, so that when someone's sick in the house, oh, go take something. You know, it's like, first thing, go take something. Because it's always worked. But the problem is, we let that stronghold diffuse God's power in our life. And those are just a few. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So again, if there's arguments and there's arguments and high things that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God, what does this mean for us? How do we overcome those things? You could say, well, we overcome them with, you know, with prayer. We overcome them with, you know, coming up in a healing line or coming up at an altar call, and that will get rid of them. Well, there's supernatural times that happens. But you know what will truly get rid of arguments in our life and high things in our lives or in the lives of others? Truth. Truth. It's the answer. That's why it's the beginning of the full armor of God. Truth. If we get truth, then everything else comes into order. If we're building doctrine or ideas based on lies or on strongholds, guess what? They're going to be limited in their power. And they may be without any power at all. You know, there's a scripture that says, I want to get it just right. Come on. Oh, I get the second part. Hang on. Let me get it. Denying the power thereof. Oh, having a form of godliness. We can have a form of godliness. In other words, we can look godly on the outside. We can look like it. We smell like it. We have that whole, Christian demeanor. And people say, oh, they're a good Christian, And maybe even at times we respond to people kindly, with charity, with love. But you can be in a form of godliness and deny the power. What power is that? That's the resurrection power we've been talking about for all these previous weeks. You can have a form of godliness that you think you're godly, but you're denying the power that's truly going to make you godly. So it's a form. And where do we get that from? From strongholds, from lies, from arguments. And then bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is a key for us as Christians, because when lies come to us that we already know don't line up with what we've heard in our heart or what we've been taught, you have to bring those down. You have to say, in Jesus' name, I don't receive that. Sometimes it's a symptom, You went through a healing line, or the Lord touched you and your body feels good, and all of a sudden, oh man, that's that shoulder again. I thought I was healed. And you start thinking about, I don't understand why it's back, and you start receiving the lie. Instead of saying, well, wait a minute, in Jesus' name, I was healed. I've been healed from that for a week. I'm not receiving that again. Now, I know it sounds like you're playing mental games with yourself, bringing every thought into captivity. You are. You are playing mental games with yourself, and hopefully you're going to have the victory on it. The mind is, it's a terrible thing to waste, and if we don't fight the good fight of faith and bring thoughts into captivity, we're wasting this gift that God gave us, this heart, mind, soul, spirit, the whole being that we are. All right. How are we doing? Oh, Eric, you're going to be okay, right? Okay, here we go. Oops, must have hit it. Yeah, so if you are someone that lets your thoughts run you or run wild, then I encourage you to learn how to take those thoughts into captivity. And the way you do it is, first of all, by submitting them to God. Saying, Lord, I give you these thoughts. I give you this lie that I believe it is. And I ask that you help me now resist the devil in this lie, in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy 6:11 through 12. But you, O man of God, this is Paul talking to Timothy, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. You're equipped for war, but you have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to lay hold of what? Eternal life. I thought Jesus gave us eternal life. He did. But lay hold of it means the enemy's not going to take it from you. He's not going to lie to you in such a way that he's going to deceive you, that you release the power that the eternal life of God has on you. We have to be like militant people when it comes to holding on to God's promises. We have to become like vicious when it comes to the enemy trying to lie to us to try to steal, kill, and destroy the work that God's doing in our life. And we go through problems, folks. We do. I've gone through problems. Life isn't always, easy. There's things that come up in our lives. There's things that the enemy does against us. But that is not the end result of who we are. That is not the final chapter of our life. God has the final say on our life. And even though the enemy would slay us, it happens. God has the final say on our life. If we truly believe indeed, if indeed we have heard of the grace of God, if we haven't heard of it, if we're not receiving his grace and haven't heard of it, then these are just words I'm speaking to you. All right, fight the good fight of faith. Final one. This goes along with being alert. I used to have a shirt. It was a little funny guy on the front of my shirt. It said, "Be alert. The world needs more alerts." So he was alert. Anyway, you remember that? Yeah, she's like shaking her head. That's my sense of humor. 1 Peter 5:8-9, New Living Translation says this: "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like," keep in mind, it's like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. He's a fake. It's lies. It's deception. "Looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. You're not in it alone. We all have things we have to deal with. But the thing is that we don't have to deal with it in such a way that it destroys us and destroys who we are in God. We are more than overcomers. I mean, we heard about a few weeks ago, I can't remember exactly what message it was, but that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives life to our mortal bodies. We heard about how he has given us, and I remind people this a lot. I do. When I'm with them, I remind them. He has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, everything that you need, he's given to you. We think that we lack things, but we don't really. The only reason we're lacking it is because of the arguments and stronghold and the lies the enemy has put up in our lives, or that we've heard and has deceived us. So what does this mean? This means that we need to untangle ourselves from the lies that are out there, and the lies that have affected us. That means you have to ask Holy Spirit to help show you those lies. What is it that I believe that is keeping me from becoming who you want me to be, God? What is it that I believe that the enemy has made a stronghold in my life that I anchor my belief system in? That I say, this is the truth. And guess what? It's not the truth. It's a lie. Or it's maybe not a total lie, but it's half truth, because it's taking away from the truth that will make us free. It's just truth that keeps us in a place of not advancing in God. I was kind of in that way for a long time. That's why I went around the church praying, prayer meetings, "Lord, I want your truth, your whole truth, and nothing but your truth." And he will reveal it. If you're sincere, if you really want to live free from the enemy, free from the lies that have been put upon us, sometimes by the way people have twisted the way that the word is saying things, and sometimes just from their ignorance. Sometimes we have lies that have come from ignorance. I believe the enemy is behind those, though. He's the one making it so that we deny the power thereof. Because if we deny the power, what's happening? It means that we're living just at the world's whim. Because we have a power that's a transformative, world-changing power. And like I said, unless that power is first changing your internal world, you won't change the world around you. Unless we're changed in our own world, our world will remain the same. And if the world remains the same, it's not good. It's not good at all. That dude looks really tough, doesn't he? I would not have wanted to take him on during the centurion times. But the idea is that that's who you are in the Spirit. If indeed you believe what Christ has done for you. See, even though that's what we are in the Spirit, if we see ourselves in the mirror, not as the warrior that God has created us to be, but as the defeated loser that we are. Unfortunately, I know how the enemy talks to us. "You're a defeated loser. Look what you've done. Look what's happened in your life. Look what you've caused." All these things that the enemy tells us. No, we need to say, you know what? Those are lies. I'm going to wipe those away and I'm going to look at the warrior that God has made me to be, because I am equipped for war. God has given me everything I need for this battle. All of the tools, all of the weapons that don't make sense, because how could truth be a weapon? It's the most powerful weapon we have. Because truth exposes darkness. And when darkness is exposed, the enemy's power is removed. I love that. When light comes into a situation, which light and truth run hand in hand, darkness has to flee. And we are light. We are light in the Lord. We are no longer slaves of darkness. We're no longer committed to darkness. We are now free individuals. But we have to live that way. We have to believe that way. Go ahead and stand. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we are equipped for war. Some of us don't feel like we want to go into battle because we feel like we don't have what we need. But Lord, you have given us everything that we need for this life and everything we need, Lord, for this battle, this fight of faith. Lord, right now I just release that truth into my heart and our hearts that are here today, that we are equipped for war. We're ready to fight the good fight of faith if we receive, Lord, your truth and reject the lies of the enemy. Father, I just ask right now that if there's any lies, any strongholds, any high things that have been exalted in our minds and in our hearts that the enemy's placed there, that you, Holy Spirit, would expose it right now. You would bring light and truth to that situation right now. That those strongholds would be brought down in the name of Jesus. Those high and exalted things would be obliterated in the name of Jesus. That truth that will make us free will reign and rule those areas now. That they won't just be empty, vacuumed places that you've taken down now. That truth will come in and will reign in those spots. Lord, I thank you that you went to the cross for us. And we can be equipped for war now. We can be ones who fight the good fight of faith because of what you've done for us on the cross. Lead us to that cross. Remind us, Lord, what that cross has done for us. Remind us, Lord, what you accomplished, Lord, on Calvary. Remind us, Lord, constantly that we are no longer, Lord, enemies of God. We are now friends of God. We are now partners with God in the kingdom of God. We now have a place to serve alongside of the Lord. Because you've called us to it, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Because death could not hold you. Thou tore me for you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. Praise of you. Above all.
name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. 'Cause you have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. 'Cause yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all. One more time, you have no rival. You have no rival.
So go out this week, remember that you are equipped for war, whether you feel like it or not, and that you've been given everything that you need to fight the good fight of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Love you. Have a great week. And see you tonight, 6 o'clock.